I've been a Christian for over 30 years. I now pastor Denver Bible Church for 5 years, and I've been a talk show host for 12 years. And I've been all over this country, and I've seen schools through all that time. And let me tell you about the very best school I have ever seen, Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. You know, there are people, I know I used to be one, that will drive from across the Denver metropolitan area to bring their kids to Maranatha. They have over 100 on staff, Christ-centered, top academics, affordable, all for your kids from 2.5 years to 12th grade. Call Maranatha Christian Center at 303-431-5653. That's Maranatha, 431-5653.
One warning, there's truth ahead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob and Yardline.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church. You're listening to 50,000 watt AM 670 KLTT, the most powerful Christian radio station in America. Program note, later this week, hey, it looks like we're going to have Brian Rohrbaugh on, and we're going to be talking about a protest at Columbine High School where one of the staff members came out and engaged the protesters. That should be fascinating. And then Judge Napolitano, the Fox News legal analyst, we should be talking to him also still this all in the next couple days. So keep tuning in to Bob Enyart Live here on KLTT. And if you missed the show, catch us on the web at kgov.com, where we archive shows pretty much indefinitely. Whether you have dial-up or broadband access, you can tune into a show. Hey, this blizzard of 05 this past week in the Northeast, and then last week the low temperatures in Minnesota. Did you see how cold it got there? 54 degrees below zero. Official temperature in embarrassed Minnesota. Man, now all this is a result of global warming, so I just don't want you to worry about it. Just don't worry yourselves over it. If we have a little more global warming, this stuff should be taken care of. So we keep rooting for global warming. Especially people who live in Siberia. That's what the Soviets said at a conference a while back. They said, look, you're pushing us about global warming. We live in Siberia. Do you know that? We live in Siberia. Do you think we care if it warms up a couple degrees? Oh, brother. And you look in the past, in history, before the Industrial Revolution, and there were significant swings in climate. I mean, it's not like liberals never heard of the Ice Age. And so they say in the past century, the temperature of the Earth has warmed 1 degree. Big deal. 1 degree. So it gets warmer, it gets cooler. It's natural. It's fine. Oil spill off the coast of California in the past few days, and they said it's mysterious. They don't know where it came from, the oil. Oil comes from the ground. It comes from the ground. It's natural. Liberals get all freaked out when there's an oil spill. Oil comes from the ground. If there's an earthquake, you know, and sometimes, of course, oil tankers collide or something, and there's a man-made oil spill. But so what? It's the blood of the earth. It's in the earth. It's natural. I mean, it causes a mess, and then we got to clean it up, and we do. So take a sedative. Calm down. All right. Matt Drudge had a story listed yesterday, a couple days ago, and it was a bizarre story, and it became really bizarre when I realized the dateline. It was out of Arvada, Colorado, and I thought, Arvada, Colorado, Arvada, that sounds familiar. Why is that sound familiar? Arvada, oh, Bob and you're live. Our address is P.O. Box 583, Arvada, Colorado, 80001. So P.O. Box 583, Arvada, Colorado. This story, it's really despicable, but just briefly. This woman has been accused of holding sex and drug parties for teenage boys. She's a 40-year-old Arvada woman who police say wanted to be seen as a cool mom. And she has been supplying drugs and alcohol to high school boys and having relations with them. Her name is Sylvia Johnson, and she faces charges of sexual assault and contributing to the delinquency of a minor. And police say she's had parties for the boys almost every week between October 2003 and 2004. She's accused of giving them marijuana, methamphetamine, and alcohol. And I was counseling a drug addict, a longtime drug addict, downtown Denver last week. And this young guy, you know, he really wants to commit his life to the Lord, wants to change, and he's been shooting heroin. He was high on heroin for 2 weeks straight. I mean, can't you almost die when you do stuff like that? And he said to me, I mentioned that I live in Arvada, and he said, oh, man, that's methamphetamine capital. I said, Arvada? Arvada, Colorado? We were just this year, you know, the police chiefs or the FBI, they put out lists of the safest cities of certain population sizes. And Arvada was way up there as one of the safer cities of our size. And it does tend to be a very safe neighborhood. We could sense it. Of course, you got to be careful. There's always crime everywhere. And if you want to live in the safest place you can possibly live in, what you do is move to the most expensive neighborhood you could afford. And as a general rule, that's no guarantee, but as a general rule, that should improve your safety slightly. So this mom here, she's accused of giving kids in Arvada, teenage boys, pot, alcohol, and methamphetamine. Man, that's just devastating. Sick woman. So the police said that the Sylvia Johnson told them that she was not popular in high school, but only recently now she feels like one of the group. Is that messed up? That's messed up. You know, our criminal justice system is broken, and because of that, people do despicable things like this. So one of the boys told his mother about the alleged encounters, and, you know, we've heard of stories like this where in Arvada, I heard of a case a year ago where a mom brings her daughter outside of a boy's house late at night trying to throw pebbles up at the boy's window, like late at night, and everybody's asleep. And here's the mom bringing her daughter to try to wake up some guy. It's just, I mean, it's bizarre. I think, Cheryl, honey, get those real estate ads. I think it's time to move out of Arvada. We love our Arvada, really. It's, what is Arvada in between? Where is it? It's between Denver and Golden. That's Arvada, Colorado. And we just love going to Golden and walking through the foothills and Clear Creek, touring Coors Brewery. Well, pastor at Denver Bible Church. We never do that on Sundays, right? They're closed on Sundays, and we're busy. But we've toured Coors Brewery once, actually. Well, we had to. They came out with a low-carb Aspen Edge. It's pretty good, but it's not as good as Michelob Ultra, I don't think. But anyway, I wouldn't know. How could I know? Because I forget what things taste like in a day or so. Okay, let's go back to these bizarre news stories I'm going through. I always get in trouble when I say things. I don't know why. Like when Coors started running ads in a homosexual newspaper, was it called the Denver Outfront, I think? And so we were on TV at the time in 80 cities, and I showed these Coors ads in these homosexual newspapers and suggested that we have a boycott of Coors, and I thought it'd be great if the Southern Baptist announced the Coors boycott. And I don't know why, but there were Southern Baptist callers who were so upset at me. I didn't quite get it. I thought it'd be a good idea, right? Not, you know, reasonable approach. Okay, this here out of the newspaper. What paper is this? Is this the Rocky Mountain News, Denver? It's just a clipping here. No, this is from the Indianapolis Star. It goes back to January 12th. One of our listeners, now, they can't hear this in Indianapolis, can they? No. KLTT is the most powerful radio station in Colorado, and it covers most of the state, and it gets into seven neighboring states. But for the public school teachers tuning in right now, Indiana is not one of our neighboring states. That's over a bit. You got to go toward the east a bit. Past, you got to keep going a ways. So anyway, one of our listeners who gets the show over the internet at KGov, KGOV.com, sent this clipping. And here's a story. A minister in Florida, 69 years old, dies during a sermon discussing heaven. And what a way to go. You know, that's great. Praise the Lord. This guy is with the Lord, and I'm sure he's got a lot of rewards that were waiting for him in heaven. And undoubtedly, he's brought many people to the Lord. And that's really neat. He's from Oviedo, Florida. And he was a Presbyterian minister. At least that's good news, right? He's no longer a Calvinist. That's pretty good. A Presbyterian minister collapsed and died at the pulpit after saying, he just said this. And at the end of this phrase, there's an ellipsis. Public school teachers, that's the three dots, three periods in a row. There's a pause, and that's when he died, which is, you know, he's a Christian, so we could celebrate it. It's exciting, really. It's sad for family and friends, but in the big picture, it's exciting to go to be with the Lord. He said, and when I go to heaven, and that's it, the big one came and got him. He said, Elizabeth, I'm coming to you. No, that was Fred Sanford or somebody. He said, and when I go to heaven, and then he collapsed. His name is the Reverend Jack Arnold, 69 years old, and he was nearing the end of his sermon a couple Sundays ago, which is appropriate, right, near the end of the sermon, at Covenant Presbyterian Church. He's probably no longer a Covenant theologian also. When he grabbed the podium before falling to the floor, and before collapsing, he had quoted, this is before he said his final phrase, and when I go to heaven. So just a little bit earlier in the sermon, just moments earlier, he had quoted John Wesley, who's from the 1700s, a preacher, well-known preacher. And he quoted John Wesley saying this, until my work on this earth is done, I am immortal. I am immortal. I do not think that word means what you think it means, John. That's funny. Until my work is done, I am immortal. Maybe he meant indestructible or something. What he's saying is God has a plan for my life, and until I finish everything God has planned for me, I will not die. But that's not true. Not only is that not true, the vast majority of people who say things like that don't really believe it. They just don't. In fact, here he said, but when my work for Christ is done, and praise the Lord that that was his heart, and he wanted to serve God and bring people to salvation, when my work for Christ is done, I will go to be with Jesus. That's neat. But, you know, if people believe that, then if they collapsed, there'd be no effort at trying to revive them. But parishioners tried to revive Arnold, and paramedics were called in, and they did everything they could, but he appeared to have died instantly. But if everybody's Calvinist, not that Calvinists can't go to doctors, they should, they do, and they need to. And if you believe you're immortal, you cannot die until your work is done, then if you pass out, you faint, why try to revive the guy? Just let him take a snooze. Whether he's breathing or not, it doesn't matter. If his work on earth is not done, he ain't going to die. You could smack him upside the head. It doesn't matter. You could zap him. The paddles that they use to try to bring him back, get his heart going. Or you could just like squirt him with silly string or something. It doesn't matter which approach you used. If he's immortal until his work on earth is done, then he's not going anywhere. But on the other hand, if God said that's it, it's his time, there's nothing you're going to do anyway to bring him back. So the point is, since the guy's with the Lord, it's easy to have a little fun with his story, because now he's cheering us on here at Bob and Yurt Live. He's saying, yeah, could you please email this show to my church and let them know? Bob, could you do that? Well, actually, I can't communicate with him. He's dead. But that's probably what he would be thinking if he were able to listen to the show. Could you send a copy of this to the Covenant Presbyterian Church, Bob, down in Oviedo, Florida? Because they got to know that I died just because my heart gave out. That's why I died. And if I had eaten a little more low-carb foods and exercised a little, I only died at 69. I mean, that's young. You know, the older you get, then the younger these years get. And so he's 69, and I used to think 69 was you're ready to drop dead, 69. Now I'm, how old am I? I'm 46, and just turned 46, January 10th. And so 69, that's not all that far away. So that's young. So he died young, and he could have lived another 20 years. So was it his time to go? No, he died. God doesn't set an alarm for each person when they're born or when they're conceived and say, here's when you're going to croak, and here's how, right? Some people have tortured deaths. Other people, Ronald Reagan, who we just interviewed Michael Reagan on the show yesterday, what a neat time that was talking to Ronald Reagan's son. I've been on his show and in his studio a few times, just watching him produce his radio program out in Los Angeles. And it was so neat to have him on the show. And about his dad's death, when his dad hadn't opened his eyes in days, and then just moments before he died, he opened his eyes, he looked at Nancy, his wife, and then he just went to be with the Lord. And it was neat what one of the family members said about Ronald Reagan's death. It was said that if death could be beautiful, my father's death was. That was Patty Reagan said that. If a death can be lovely, his was. That's pretty neat. At any rate, let's get back to this poor guy. He's dead. And if people really believed that everything that happened was unavoidably predestined from before the foundation of the earth, whoever you marry, whatever car you're going to buy, whatever food you're going to buy when you go to the grocery store, don't fret it. Don't read the ingredients. Don't ask the woman anything about herself or her past. Just put your name in a hat, pull a couple names out, and get married. Because it's all predetermined. Everything. Yeah, you could take medicine if you want, but it doesn't matter because you're going to die when it's determined you're going to die. Right? And if you're going to get up and go to work early and make sure you're there on time and work really hard and try to get it doesn't matter, because if you're going to get promoted, it's all predetermined. If you're going to get canned this springtime, fired from your job, it's not your fault. It was all predetermined. It's just to teach you a lesson. What does it teach you? It teaches you can't understand God. That's all it teaches you. Nothing else, because, hey, it's just wild. All right, so anyway, enough for that. I know I annoyed enough people, but for those who are upset and think I should not be talking like this because I'm offending you, I'm making fun of your beliefs, realize that this show was predestined from before the foundation of the earth. And not one syllable could have been uttered otherwise. So if you have any objections to this, bring it up with God, maker of heaven and earth, and other fine products, and talk to the producer. I don't mean Ray Graybar, not the executive producer. I mean the all-time chief producer of all things, and bring it up there. Because there's nothing we can do about it here. Okay. All right, now that I'm in trouble with the Presbyterians, And who else am I in trouble with? Why don't I get a little bit in trouble with the Catholics? Two bishops, two cardinals. I'll see your bishop and raise you a cardinal. Two cardinals, one in America and one in Germany, are both in the news. And it's interesting, both about things they've said. And the American cardinal from Washington, he sent a letter to the U.S. Senate. And so far, he's winning between these two cardinals because he's sticking by what he wrote. He wrote to the U.S. Senate, to each of the senators, that they should approve the judicial nominees who oppose abortion. That's pretty neat. That takes courage. He's not calling for strict constructionist judges. He's calling for what? He's calling for judges who oppose abortion. And praise the Lord for that. And he also pointed out that in the year 2000, the Republican Supreme Court ruled that the gruesome and inhumane partial birth abortion must be constitutionally protected. Now, that's pretty bizarre, right? That was 5 years ago. And so that's the, well, he didn't say it was the Republican Supreme Court. I added that. But 7 out of the 9 U.S. Supreme Court justices have been appointed by Republican presidents, and they're pro-abortion. And you know, when Roe v. Wade was passed, 1973, January 22nd, how many of the justices then had been appointed by Republican presidents? Now, there's a trivia question. Six. Six of the nine. And do you know, of the dissenting votes, now Roe v. Wade was how many voted for it and how many voted against it? If I recall, it was a 7-2 decision. And one of the opposing votes, had the justice had been nominated by a Democratic president. So the Republicans have a really bad track record in legalizing abortion through the courts because the Republican Party is the one party that did it. Somehow that escapes most of my pro-life activist friends. They don't quite get that it's the Republican Party judges that have given us abortion on demand, Roe v. Wade, upheld Roe v. Wade a gazillion times since. Yeah, the Republican Party outlawed partial birth abortion, and even if that passes the courts this time, it's not going to save any lives because it's like outlawing Zyklon B gas for killing Jews, and before it's taken off the market, they're already selling Zyklon C. And you think, wow, look what we did. We only have another 24 alphabet letters to go. It takes about 300 years to get through the alphabet, and then we'll work on some other technique. And the partial birth abortion ban, it didn't say you can't kill late-term children. It said you can't kill them using this technique. You got to use another technique if you want to kill them legally. And so the Republican pro-lifers have been patting themselves on the back for years now. They have wasted years of their primary effort to outlaw partial birth abortion, and it will save zero lives. Not one abortion scheduled will be postponed because they can't do partial birth abortion. There are plenty of ways to kill late-term babies. All right. So sad. So this Cardinal William Keeler wrote to members of the U.S. Senate telling them they need to approve judges who oppose abortion. Of course, those kind of judges have to be nominated before that can happen. And that's still up in the air, but we'll see what happens. We'll see. I don't know that there is a judge anywhere in the federal judiciary that believes that abortion is murder and the federal government has the responsibility to protect unborn children. I don't know that there is a judge. There's no judge like that on the U.S. Supreme Court, as far as I can tell, not even Scalia or Thomas or Rehnquist. In fact, Rehnquist just took conservatives to task a couple weeks ago in his comments
that we shouldn't get upset when judges legislate from the bench. We got to calm down and shut up a little. You remember that? That was Chief Justice Rehnquist, the hero of the pro-lifers. Isn't that bizarre? Well, not if you are an observer of the world like we are here at Bob and Yurt Live. If you're clouded by this Republican haze that's in front of your face all the time, then you'd be shocked. Why would Rehnquist say that? But when George W. Bush appointed so many pro-abortion judges and feminist judges, pro-homosexual judges, just generally in Texas, and helped to ruin the Texas Supreme Court, and they gave us the worst pro-abortion decision in the history of the Texas courts with George W. Bush's judges leading the way. I mean, that causes us to worry. Okay, so now you go to Germany, and the Cologne Archbishop, Cardinal Joachim Messner, he gave a sermon just earlier this month, and in it, Cardinal Messner said, first it was Herod who killed the children of Bethlehem. Then Hitler and Stalin let millions of people be destroyed. And today, in our times, millions of unborn children are being killed. Now that was tremendous. That was just great. But then, of course, there was a lot of pressure and anger over his remarks. So you know what he did? He apologized. Why do people do this? Did he take a class from Jerry Falwell? Jerry Falwell says these great things on Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock, and then by 1:30 in the afternoon, he apologizes. Jerry, stop apologizing all the time. And this archbishop, don't apologize. The people who get upset about this are people who think it's fine to kill unborn children. And they don't view these kids as people worthy of protection. And it's exactly right. It's not Holocaust envy. It's children are being slaughtered by the millions all over the world every year. More children are killed every year around the world by abortionists like Planned Parenthood than died in the entire Jewish Holocaust. 6 million were slaughtered by the Germans, and that was an enormous wickedness. And every year, we see that every year multiplied in the killing of unborn children. All right, so I'm about out of time. Oh, I got to invite you to Denver Bible Church this Sunday morning, Sunday night. Sunday night, we're studying the book of Acts, and it's really fun to see why does Luke start the whole story of Acts all about Peter. And then Peter's out, and all of a sudden it's Paul, all Paul, wall to wall. There's a transition in the middle of the book of Acts. Why does that happen? Well, come on out Sunday night, Denver Bible Church. Find out. Call us here at Bob and Yurt Live for directions, 800-836-9278. That's 800-836-9278. Also, when you call, you can ask for one of our catalogs. We've got so many great videos, audio tape, and MP3 CD, Bible studies, and the neatest DVDs and videos you've ever seen, ones we've produced and great third-party ones on evolution and creation. And then Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, what a neat school. Their phone number, 303-431-5653, 431-5653.